Timothy. He is in the midst of giving final words to his protege. So I want to read, beginning with verse 1 of chapter 4. Paul writes, "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Father God, we commit ourselves to your word this morning as we again look to see what Paul is saying here and how it applies not only to Timothy, but to us. And so I ask, Lord, for your Spirit's help and empowerment as we continue to work our way through these important words. Help me today to be clear. Help our ears to be willing to hear. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to be willing to apply what we learn. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I've mentioned in the past, these first two verses of 2 Timothy chapter 4 are written largely in the imperative. Well, the imperative means that he's exhorting or commanding Timothy to do something in particular. He wants Timothy to pay attention to what's being said here. And it isn't that Timothy is doing everything all wrong. It is that Paul wants Timothy to be reinforced, to be encouraged. And he uses strong words and strong language here. We're looking today at the phrase, be ready in season and out of season. Be ready in season and out of season. What does Paul mean when he says these words? We don't often hear this phrase in common use today, be ready in season and out of season. It's not the way we talk. But when we look at other translations, which is always a helpful thing when you are studying Scripture, we get another perspective on what Paul is saying here. And so I want to give it to you also from the Holman Christian Standard translation. And this is how they translate this phrase. They say, proclaim the message, persist in it, whether convenient or not. Let me read that again. Proclaim the message, persist in it, whether convenient or not. Now we know that there are times when people are ready to hear the word proclaimed, like you are this morning. You wouldn't be here if you weren't, unless your parents are making you come. I was a preacher's kid. I know how that works. But there are times when we are ready to hear it. But there are also times when people are not ready to hear it. They do not want to hear. Even in the church, they do not want to hear the truth of God's word brought to bear on their lives. So there's times when it's convenient and there's times when it's inconvenient. There's going to be times when people are ready to listen and there are times when people don't want to listen. What are we to do according to Paul? We are to be ready, no matter what the season. And so I want to talk to you about these two phrases. I will begin with in season. The word Paul uses here is a word that refers, as I've already mentioned, to something being a convenient time. In season is convenient. Now, in our culture today, we know all about convenience. We've got 150 different ways to do everything. And if that's not convenient, then somebody will come up with a way for you to do it. There are times when things are just convenient. We love convenience. It also means an opportune or a favorable time. And it isn't hard for us to understand that there are more favorable or more opportune times to talk to someone about something. Now, I'm sure you've done this yourself, just as I have. You've waited for just the right time, a favorable time, to talk to somebody about something. It doesn't have to be negative. It could be a positive thing. There's a good time, a right time, to say something to somebody. And so we look for those times, whether it's good news or bad news. I remember a time when I was visiting a family from our church with my dad, who was a pastor, and I witnessed something along those lines. Someone was making use of this convenience. My dad was talking to the mom of the family, and they were talking, or as they were talking in the living room there, the lady's high school age daughter came in the room and said, "Hi, Mom, here's my report card." Well, and you could tell by the look on Mom's face that the daughter had picked this time while the preacher was sitting in the living room so that Mom wouldn't blow her stack right there. It was clearly bad news. Now, I'm not sure what happened after we left, but I thought it was interesting, as I think back on that, just how creative this young lady was. She's not going to do anything to me at that moment when they're sitting here in the room. You see, it was convenient. So what did this mean for Timothy to preach the word in season? Now, Timothy was a preacher. He was a pastor. He pastored a church, the church in Ephesus. And so he had many opportunities, no doubt, to preach the word to people, just like I'm doing today, who wanted to hear the word. There were people in the church, regardless of all the difficulties that they were having, there were people in that church who wanted to hear the word of God. And that would have been considered in season. Every pastor of a Bible-believing church has plenty of convenient opportunities to proclaim the word. Certainly every Sunday morning and other times during the week. And the truth is that, generally speaking, people who want to be part of a Bible-believing church are very willing to hear the word of God. They want to hear it. They want to talk about it. One of the things I love about getting together with people of the word that love the word is that when you sit down and you start talking about life and you get past all the how's your week and that kind of stuff, oftentimes the conversation turns to God and faith. And inevitably we ask one another, as you have asked me and I have asked you, how can I pray for you? How can I pray along with you? And we share some of those things that are going on in our lives, and we help one another. And I'm sure that this is the kind of thing that was going on for believers in the church in Ephesus. And even though there were significant issues there, and we've talked at length about them, or false teachers inside the church and outside the church, there were people who faithfully followed Christ. And so for Timothy, it was to those people that the in-season preaching mostly took place. The convenience, the proper time. They wanted to hear the word, and they were favorable toward it in season. And Timothy preached the word to them. Now, one thing that you should know, regardless of whether I'm talking about the in-season part of this phrase or the out-of-season part, is that you have to be ready. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later, but you have to be ready. Ready for what? I think there's a couple of things here. First of all, you have to be ready to bring God's word to bear on your circumstances. As Christians, if we are not doing that, if we are not bringing the word of God to bear on our circumstances as we live life, then we have completely missed the value of the word of God to us as we live. But obviously, there's a second part of that too, and that is the gospel itself. We have to be ready to talk to people about Christ. Timothy certainly did. He was bringing God's word to bear on the false teachings that were part and parcel of his ministry. And it required Timothy to prepare and to continually increase his knowledge of the word of God and to know what the falsehoods were so that he could deal with them. And of course, Paul has been encouraging him to do this throughout both letters. And so part of Timothy's in-season preaching most certainly would have been to his congregation, helping them understand what was being said out there, what the false teachings were, and how they didn't line up with what God's word said. How this could not be the gospel. How this was not what God was saying. Because you remember that the false teachers, and this has been true throughout the ages, it's true today. They'll take a modicum of truth, just about that much. And they make it all sound really good. And unless you're really paying attention, by the time you're down the road a few minutes, they've got you thinking completely in a different direction. Timothy had to teach his congregation how to handle those things. They had to talk about it. Because we know that Timothy dealt with these things. He faced up and faced off with the false teachers. And if he did it, we know that his congregation did. During the week, in the public square, as they went to work, as they were in the marketplace, they had to face these falsehoods. And I would do the same. If we had a false teacher set up shop in one of our towns, in Rochelle or in Ashton or Dixon or someplace where our congregation was represented we heard these things, we would have to say, look, let's take a look at what they're actually saying. What is it that is being said? It always comes back to understanding the Word of God and how to bring that to bear on the falsehoods that we are hearing. And I have no doubt that Timothy did just that. And for his people, that was totally in-season preaching. They wanted to know. He wanted to teach them. And that is absolutely the best way for the church to operate. And that is no more than a congregation should expect of a pastor. But it's not just about Timothy, and it's not just about the preacher. What does proclaiming the word in season mean for you? You see, Timothy and myself as a preacher, you look at me and you say, well, I expect you to do that. I expect you, when you go somewhere, to talk to somebody about Christ. I expect you to be the one to say what needs to be said to someone when you are having a conversation. I expect you to bring the Word of God into focus. But what about you? What are you supposed to do? The beauty of God's Word and the Scripture is that Paul is saying this not only to Timothy, but he's saying it to us. You don't have to be a preacher for this to be applicable to you. You, too, must be ready to proclaim the gospel and apply God's word to the situations that you face. So what do these in-season opportunities look like for you? What makes it an in-season opportunity? In your immediate family, there are oftentimes what I like to call teachable moments. They don't only happen in the family, but that's probably the easiest time to explain it. They might be manifested in a heart-to-heart conversation with a son or a daughter. Just one of those times when you just, every parent's had it, where you just have the opportunity to sit and talk about the serious things of God. It might start with a question. It might be a situation that is taking place, and God just opens that door wide, and you have the opportunity to talk about Christ and about how to apply God's word. And I love it when I can have that serious spiritual conversation with one of my kids. As I think back over the years, you know, with my kids, I think about the many conversations that Sherry and I have had with our children. And there was a time when it was almost all one-sided, where we were teaching. We were instructing. We were encouraging. We were admonishing or maybe even rebuking. But now, as we talk on the phone and we have those contacts, I'm encouraged because now they're challenging us. And they're saying, Tyler does this to me all the time. It's the seminary thing, I think. I'll be talking to him. He says, "Dad, what are you preaching?" And I'll tell him. And he says, "Well, what do you think about this word or verse or whatever?" And I'll say, and he'll say, "Well, why do you think that?" And we have a good conversation. It's good to be able to think through what all that means. Those in-season times are important. They were important as we raised our children. They still are important as we talk to one another. But it can only happen when the Word of God permeates your thinking. The Word of God has to be central to you. Otherwise, those opportunities will not exist. The in-season or convenient times of proclaiming the Word are just one part of Paul's statement. The other is to be ready to proclaim the Word out of season. So let me take you back to the definition I gave you earlier for the word translated in season. Remember that the definition was a convenient time, an opportune or a favorable time. Now we have to look at the words out of season. Paul uses the same root word, but he writes it in a negative format. So now it means, translated out of season, it means inconvenient or unfavorable time. And this is the only use of this word in Scripture. So how does this apply to Timothy? Let's look at Timothy first. There can be no doubt that Timothy faced many inconvenient and unfavorable times to talk about the Word of God. Remember that According to tradition and history, Timothy was killed in the public square trying to stop some immoral activity in the midst of the public square. The story is that he ran out there and begged and pled and wanted them to stop in Ephesus. And he was beaten to death. That was an inopportune time. It was out of season. And yet Timothy willingly spoke the truth. The people that he wanted to reach, like false teachers, like their followers, did not want to listen. That's out of season. They don't want to hear it. Now I wonder, do you know anybody like that? Most of the world. Most of our friends, most of our culture does not want to hear about Christ, about the Word of God, about what I think or what I believe. And it's getting more so like that every day. Timothy had to be ready to proclaim the gospel at any time. And remember that proclaiming the gospel and applying God's word isn't only done by preaching in the pulpit. In fact, if we understand the word of God correctly, it cannot be the only time. It should represent a small fraction of the time that the word is proclaimed. And don't forget what the false teachers were doing. Listen again to what Paul says at the beginning of his first letter in this warning to Timothy. As I urged you upon my departure for Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines, nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies, which give rise to more speculation rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. Do you think the false teachers wanted to hear Timothy tell them that they were false teachers? Well, of course they didn't. Their whole point was to make a following for themselves. Their whole point was to lead people astray. Their whole point was not to get the Word of God right, but to steer people away from that. And then at the beginning of 2 Timothy, Paul reminds Timothy, he says, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline." Timothy sometimes had a hard time facing the challenges of the false teachers. It's hard. It's hard to continually tell people about the Word of God and about the gospel when they continually tell you they don't want to know. It's hard to do that. But Paul felt it necessary to encourage him to boldness. Timothy, don't be timid. The message that you have is the right message. The message that you have is a powerful message. Don't give it up. And don't give up proclaiming it. Timothy faced a lot of inconvenient times, and he proclaimed the word. Paul tells him to be ready in season and out of season to proclaim it. So once again, each of us needs to make this personal and ask this question: what does this mean then for me? What does this mean for me to proclaim the word, the gospel, out of season? Many Christians today are timid about the Word of God. There are reasons for that, which I'm going to talk about in just a minute. But we're timid. We're a little scared to talk about it. Can't remember who said it now. I've used the illustration before, but somebody said that American Christians are the only are the only Christians in the world that are afraid of the raised eyebrow. And I think in large part that's very true. We're often afraid to tell people about their eternal state. Now, to be truthful, who wants to hear that they're going to hell? But churches aren't even good about talking about the truth within their own body sometimes. And thus we have churches that are weak. And eventually that leads to not preaching the word again. Now, as it applies to us, you may always feel that you find yourself in an out of season or inconvenient time to proclaim the word of God. So ask yourself this question: is it ever convenient for me to do so? And when would that time be? To be sure, there are appropriate times to talk to people about important spiritual matters. But the question is, how long do we wait for that opportunity to present itself? And when do we make the opportunity? When is it that we go to someone and say, hey, friend, or hey, son, I need to talk to you about something that's really important? That's making an opportunity. In our churches around the world this month, which is in your bulletin today, there's a little section here about... says The Atlantic, that's the magazine, The Atlantic says secularism is hurting America. No kidding. But listen to what they quote a writer for thestream.org. Her name is Liberty McCarter. Listen to what she says. This is a time for Christians to set an example. The church should recognize this trend as a crucial opportunity to shine the light of Christ among a grappling society. She's talking specifically here about the millennial group, which the younger generation tends to be far more secular, far more skeptical, far more disbelieving of anything that's happened before. This is what she's talking about. The church needs to understand the crucial opportunity to shine the light of Christ among a grappling society as widening ideological divides increase political wounds. The church can point to a better way. Jesus. Now let me say this about the millennials that I've talked to who are not already believers. They don't want to hear it. They do not want to hear that they're sinners. And who are you, by the way, to tell me that I'm going to hell? They don't want to know. See, I would call that an inconvenient time, an out-of-season time. It doesn't mean that they don't need to hear it. In fact, they need to hear it all the more. Because they are so unwilling and so self-motivated. I was with some pastors this week, and we were talking about, among other things, the difficulty that not just the church, but all volunteer organizations today have in getting help, getting people to volunteer. Volunteerism is on its way out. And what's the reason for that? Well, you know, in secular society, they come up with all kinds of reasons. But we know what the reason is. Because the society is becoming so self-absorbed. Back when I was a kid, the McDonald's commercial, I think, was, you know, you deserve. It's all about me. It used to be that they referred to it. Now they say it. It's all about me. And our society today actually believes it. And so, that being the case, I don't have time to give to anything else. Well, wait a minute. What's in it for me? What do I get out of it? Oh, you mean it's just time? I have to give just time? Yeah, that's what we want you to do. Well, no, I can't do that. But that has bled into the church as well. And it applies directly to what we're talking about. You know, it's inconvenient to share the gospel. It's hard to share the gospel. It's hard to confront somebody with the truth of God's word. So I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it. Let somebody else do it. It's not my job. It is your job. It is your responsibility just as much as it is mine. And there are so many today who need to be confronted with the gospel in the first place. For the very first time. And it's going to be inconvenient. And it's going to be difficult. And they are not going to want to hear it every time. What does Paul say about the inconvenience of the situation? He says, preach the word. Preach the word. Proclaim it. Don't give it up. Don't be timid. Do it. So what must be done to preach the word in season and out of season? How do we answer that question? Get ready. Be ready. Get ready. I want to be clear about what Paul is saying when he says and uses this short statement. His statement, be ready in season and out of season, isn't about choosing the best time to talk about the Word of God or the gospel. It's about getting ready and being ready whenever the opportunity presents itself. He's not saying, okay, make sure that you check your calendar and make sure it's convenient for you. Make sure you've got plenty of time. Make sure all of this is... No, he's not talking about that. He's saying, be ready because the opportunity is coming. Be ready because the Word of God needs to be brought to bear on this situation. You must be ready. And that's not just the preacher. Paul wanted Timothy to be ready in season and out of season. Dwight Edwards nails it when he says this. See if this describes anybody you know. Oftentimes we fall into a sort of time clock mentality in regards to serving Christ. For certain periods of the day, we are on the job for the kingdom. But then at other times, we are mentally punched out for the day. Here we are being commanded to throw away our punch cards and be ready for and every opportunity afforded us. For any opportunity afforded us. This is not to say that we never take time to rest and relax. But we must be willing to, in quotes, go on duty whenever God should call. Remember the words of Paul to the church at Corinth. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable. So far, we're all about that. Steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Peter exhorts us to sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Catch this next phrase. Always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence, and keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, and you will be slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. Get ready and be ready to proclaim the word of God. Whether it is in the form of presenting the gospel or challenging a false doctrine or a false idea. As I was thinking about this week, I thought that there are three things, actually more, but three primary things that often stand in the way of our getting ready and being ready as Christians. Well, let me share those with you. What I want you to do is write these down and use them as kind of a personal test. How do I fit in these areas? The first one is that we don't really believe what we say we believe. We don't really believe what we say we believe. Now, we've just observed communion. We say that observing communion is a way for us to help us remember what Christ has done. And while we're sitting here in this comfortable and friendly environment, we don't have any difficulty with that. But what about when it gets a little wild out there? Do I really believe what I say I believe? Now, maybe this sounds a little harsh to you, but I want you to think about something as a Christian. Where would you be today had someone not shared the gospel with you? Makes me shudder to think what I'd be doing. I don't want to think about it, actually. Do you believe that you're the only one for whom Christ died? Well, of course you don't. No one in this room would ever say such a thing. But you know what? We act like it. We say, I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord. But I'm not really willing to talk about it too much. Who is to tell them about Christ? This is where you raise your hand. I'm supposed to tell them. That's something that I'm supposed to do. But I think there is still within the church a large enough group of people who say they believe Christ, but either don't understand what they're saying or truly don't believe what they're saying. That it affects the in-season and out-of-season preaching of the Word and proclaiming of the Word. Who is supposed to help them grow in Christ? You are. Have we become so self-centered that we will not spend the time to walk with someone to maturity in Christ? It makes us all the more like the world, doesn't it? So the first one is we don't really believe what we say we believe. Second one is we are unwilling to take the time to get ready. Now, all you have to do to test yourself in this regard is, as a Christian, are you any different today than you were, I'll be gracious, last year? Are you any different today than you were 5 years ago? As a Christian, we're all different. Losing hair, graying hair, aches and pains, all of that's different. But what about getting ready? What about growing in Christ? Many people, and maybe you're one of them, don't feel like they know enough about God or the Bible or the gospel, or they're afraid that someone's going to ask them a question that they don't understand, and so they can't talk to anybody about it. Now, my question is, why is that true? Well, I'll tell you why it's true. Because we're lazy. Because we are unwilling to take the time to dig into the Word and spend the time, invest, to learn the Word of God and how it applies. You've heard this just like I have, that we are the busiest society ever. But then if we begin to think about things, we also have it as easy as any society ever. So what's the deal? To be honest, I don't really have to work all that hard to put food on my table. Not as hard as they used to have to work. I don't work from daylight to dark to make sure that my family gets fed. Go to the store. Church says, hey, you want to go to Walmart? It's not all that hard. I don't really like Walmart that much, but it's not that hard. I don't have to be out there dealing with the animals and the soil, and I don't have to do that. Where's all my time going? I'm unwilling to take the time to get ready. And you know what? We are really not all that different from the people in the New Testament era in some ways. Listen to the admonishment the preacher gives to the Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5. Concerning him, he's speaking of Christ and his priesthood. Concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain. Listen to what he says. Since you have become dull of hearing, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for something or for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Did you catch that? Because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. He's chastising them. He's saying, by now you should be able to teach. Why can't you teach? Well, you become dull of hearing. Why? Because you will not spend the time in the Word of God to know it. And there's only one way, unless you are simply unable to do it, there's only one reason for that to happen. Simply, I'm unwilling. We all have 24 hours in the day. We all have the same things that need to be done. We all have different needs, different responsibilities. All of that's true. But people have become dull of hearing. And because they are still immature and have not sought to grow in faith and knowledge as they should. And I wonder what the church would look like if we were really willing to apply ourselves in that way. The third thing that I want to mention to you this morning is not something that we would ever say out loud, but is demonstrated often. And that is, we fear men more than we fear God. We are afraid what that guy is going to say when I tell him that because of your sin, you are going to go to hell. I'm afraid of what my brother in Christ is going to say when I have to talk to him about something I heard him say. And so, I'm just not going to do it. And you know what? Every one of us has had every intention of sharing the gospel, using this as an example, sharing the gospel with someone or talk to someone about a spiritual matter and gotten cold feet out of fear of a negative response. We've all done that. You know, every intention of going and talking to that person. And along the way, it's one of these deals. Nope, not going to do it right now. I'll do it tomorrow. That's when I'll do it. I'll do it tomorrow. Well, you know how that works. It never happens. Sometimes we almost have to put blinders on, don't we? And we have to say, okay, Lord, you know, you know my wicked and my lazy heart, and I know I'm supposed to do this. I know I need to do it, but you know I don't really want to do it. And I need your help to do it. Got to put blinders on and just go. But you have to be ready. You have to be working toward being ready. The other excuse that I hear, and I actually hear this one, and that is, I'm not ready yet. Maybe you're trying to get ready, and so I'm not ready yet. Well, when's that going to be, by the way? Tomorrow. Or the next day. Or the next day. Everyone has had that experience, and I know no other way to explain it than when it happens to me, I demonstrate more of a fear of man than I do of God. I don't know any other way to explain it, folks. And if you've got a better way to explain it, you let me know. So I wonder today if you find yourself in any or all of these categories. And if you do, what should be done? Because we cannot avoid Paul's words here. When he says, be ready in season and out of season. How ready are you? And what are you doing to get ready? Father God, we recognize in these moments, to be sure, the weakness of our flesh. There isn't one of us, Lord, who hasn't had the experience of kind of deviating because of fear. Maybe we called it something different, Lord, but that we know that that's ultimately what it is. All of us have found something other to do, something else to do than spending time learning and knowing your word and learning to apply it. And we have to confess, Lord, that's just not entirely comfortable for us. We don't want to do it. It doesn't always feel good. And so we don't. So, Lord, I pray, God, in our weakness, that your strength would manifest itself. Lord, in our perceived inability, Lord, that your Spirit would speak through us. Lord, your disciples were fearful too. They said, Lord, what are we going to say? And Jesus told them, don't worry about it. Do what you're supposed to do. And God will give you the words. Lord, help us to prepare ourselves. Help us, Lord, to dig in to your word. Help us, Lord, to boldly talk to people about their need for Jesus Christ. Because if you don't help us do it, Lord, our flesh will be too strong and we won't do it. And we'll be like the Hebrews. And we'll just be sitting there with our glass of milk and we won't make any progress for the kingdom whatsoever. Help us, Lord. Strengthen us. Challenge us. Cause us, Lord, to be a people who know the Word of God and proclaim it in season and out of season. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.